know right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. The house is full. COVID full today. COVID full. Amen. We still got some room over there. Everybody look over there. That's where your friends can sit. That's where you can sit next week. Invite them. We got plenty of room, right? We got room in the back. We got room in the overflow. People need to hear the gospel of Jesus. Need to hear the good news. Need to hear the truth. So many people bound and need to be set free. But His truth will set us free. Well, hello again. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here. And hasn't the weather been insanely awesome? Praise God. Who's wearing shorts in here? This guy, he's proud. Hallelujah. Amen. Let those bad boys breathe, man. Let them legs breathe. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Man, the weather's been incredible. We have great favor, church. Favor of the Lord. Favor of the Lord. Thank you, worship team, tech team, greeters, ushers, children's workers. Remember, we still need children's workers. An absolute blessing down there. They're teaching the next generation. This generation right now, they're teaching them the truth that they will never get at school. And a lot of times they'll never even get at home. Those children's workers are vitally important. And anybody, raise your hand in here if you went to Sunday school or went to children's church as a kid. Come on. You realize that so many people right now are not doing that. And the church in about 20 years, half those people will raise their hand or half those people won't even be here. Pass generation to generation, God's word. Generation after generation after generation. It's our job to pass God's word to the next generation. Well, this upcoming Wednesday is Veterans Day. Man, I can't believe it's already Veterans Day. That's crazy. Amen? I want to say thank you for all that have served in the United States Armed Forces and the ones that are serving now and the ones that are going to serve in the future. If you are currently serving or have served in the United States Armed Forces, will you please stand to your feet in church? Let's give them an applaud. Thank you for your service. God bless the United States of America. Thank you for your service. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. You fight for our country. Our father, he was, well, as Marines say, they're still Marines, just a little slower maybe. That's not mean. That's truth. I don't know why you're mad. That's truth. Reality's reality. Man, I used to play basketball, and now when I try to go left, I'm like, where? My body's not going left. Our father, he served as a Marine in the United States military. And so I have always been thankful. But we don't live in a country that is always thankful for the servicemen and women, but this church will be. And so we appreciate what you do. We appreciate the sacrifice that you've given. We will raise the flag. We will salute the flag if you can, or we'll put our hand on our heart, and we will stand for the flag. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for that sacrifice. We truly appreciate it. Without that, man, we would be in some trouble because we're thankful for the warfare that they've had to fight throughout the years. We've been blessed that we haven't really been in a war in quite a while. We've been blessed and we've been cursed. Because what warfare teaches is sacrifice. Kids nowadays out there parading around, they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even understand sacrifice. But war is inevitable, unfortunately, till Jesus comes. Well, he's going to bring a war, and then he's going to unify, and he's going to separate. Jesus comes to bring a sword. He does. Comes to bring a sword, but he's going to unify his church. He's going to unify his church. Warfare. Serving as a soldier for a purpose and on purpose. This morning, we are clearly in more of a battle than just in our democracy, right? We are. We're in a battle. It's bigger than the United States of America. It always has been. It's bigger than any nation or any country or any leader. It's a big spiritual war. And we've been in it since Adam and Eve took that bite. It could have been like this in November everywhere. They had to take the bite, and white demons coming. I'm ready. I got a new coat. Okay. Hallelujah. This morning, we're clearly in a battle. As the day gets closer to Christ's return, things start to unfold quicker. We're seeing that. Anybody over 50 in here? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. Yeah, I'll do it. Oh, what a different world we live in, huh? We live in a different world than the way we grew up in. We also live in a different church than we grew up in. Jesus prophesied what would happen in John chapter 16, verses 30 and verse 33. Jesus said, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me." That's still a word for today. I have told you all this. The word of God is written so we can have peace in Jesus. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Praise God. See, the enemy, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, if you're holy, hallelujah, would love nothing more than to bring more discouragement, more defeat, more divide, more fear, more stress into our lives. That's what he wants to do right now. The devil would love nothing more than to see God's chosen church crumble under the weight of these things. The devil wants to see the church divided at this time. But we cannot and we will not let him do it. Christ is bigger than politics. He always has been. Did Jesus reign before 1776? Okay, just think about that. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. We are human. All my humans say amen. But we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. But are we doing it? God reminds us again this morning to stay alert. Stay alert. And stay close to him during this time of warfare. Two things I said there. Stay alert and stay close to God during this warfare. Romans 15, 4 through 6 says this. In the NLT. Such things were written in scriptures long ago to teach us. Amen. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Verse 5. May God, who gives this patience, right? This is so tough for Americans. patience. We live in the land of the microwave. Verse 5, may God who gives this patience and encouragement help you live in complete harmony with each other as it is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. He's talking to his church. I'm going to read one more verse. Verse 6. Okay, first, before we move to verse 6, go back to verse 5, please. May God who gives this patience and the God who gives this encouragement help you, help me, help the church live in complete harmony with each other as it is fitting. Like it's basically, that's what you should do. That's what it should look like as it is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Okay, if that happens, the next verse can happen. Verse 6 starts with then. So something has to happen before then. Then all of you can join together with one voice. Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week. Denominations, colors, backgrounds, languages. But if we do this, then all of you can join together with one voice. Can you imagine one voice right now worshiping Jesus? Can you imagine that? Because we want that, but we don't do that. Giving praise and glory to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such things were written in scriptures long ago. That's how that started. It's still valid in 2020 as it was when these things were put on the Gutenberg printing press and way before that. See, I'm not talking about the presidential race right now. Church, we have fallen asleep to the message of Christ and awakened to politics on many areas. Voting is extremely important. I preached 3 weeks on it. I 100% believe it. But if you're more interested in making good laws over making good disciples, you have missed it. You've missed it. If you're more concerned about your political opinions over the gospel of Jesus, and it has divided you politically, and the church is dividing, we will never be in one voice. If you're having a hard time right now, that's easy to say in 2020. But if you're having a hard time right now, or you're just not seeing what is going on in our world, not just the United States, but in our world, the problem may be your lack of intimacy with God. See, John 15, verses 4 and 5, they say this. This is one of my main scriptures of today. John 15, 4 and 5. Jesus says this, remain in me. Church, say that with me. Ready? Ready? Remain in me. And I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Next verse. Yes, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do, say it church, nothing. Nothing will or can be done right now, yesterday, or in the future without Jesus. See, God's ways, be reminded this morning, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are what? Higher than our thoughts. Church, come close to Jesus to know what he is doing. Come close to Jesus and we'll know the enemy's schemes and plans in these last days. See, it's Remember, I'm talking to 50 and older again. You remember back in the day at church, right? And even in your own life when sin was so hidden, so secret. Even in the United States of America or even in the world, a lot of times it's so secret. Like, we just don't talk about that. Sin is not only exposed, it's celebrated. It's not only celebrated, it's worshiped. So a lot of times we are like, oh, that's so bad. Yeah, it is bad, but it's also so good. I mean, can God give us anything more clear in how to pray? I mean, the devil is out there right now just exposing himself to the world and all his plans. Let me just share just a couple that we can easily see in 2020. Right now, the enemy's greatest plans, and let me tell you the high-arching thing right now, what the devil wants to do. Because it says fight for our country, which I would change that if I could. I changed the sermon like a billion times. But fight for our Jesus, fight for our church, fight for our land, fight for our world, fight for our country, yes, fight for all these things. But let me tell you the greatest thing right now that the enemy's doing. Here's the arching theme. It's the same thing. He's got the same plan. He's just putting it in different packages. It's division. He did it in the garden. He's done it throughout the Word of God. He's done it throughout creation. He's doing it in 2020. Here are some of the vehicles he has used. And unfortunately, the church has jumped in and rode in some of these vehicles. He's divided in COVID-19. Now, I understand we have to follow policies because we don't want to spread, because the real reality is this. But there are churches and states and places all over that can't exercise their First Amendment right and their right to meet together and assemble together for their religious purposes. Okay? The devil's using that. And there's a lot of churches are getting creative, which is a blessing, and they're able to meet in different ways. But man, when this whole thing hit, there was division in the church. There still is. I mean, we fight over masks. We fight over how we can sit next to each other. We fight over these things. I don't want to wear one. I do want to wear one. We fight over these things. There's division. Here's another one. Racial divide. You were born and you did not choose how you were born. And we fight over it as if it was a choice. Prejudice is taught. It is not in the Word of God. You come together in one body. We all come from Adam and Eve. We all come from, if you want to go further down the line, we all come from Noah in the ark. We all have the same blood. But God, the devil is dividing so easily right now. Church, we got to represent the opposite of what the devil is doing out there. Racial divide, division. Now here's one at the doorstep, slamming on it. Political divide. If you have to get off Facebook, just get off. Just get off. Quit fighting. Quit fighting. As your pastor, I'm telling you, it's wrong. I understand you have your opinions. I got my opinions. Y'all know that. I'm a strong opinion guy. But does Christ reign? Because he's not raining on your Facebook. I'm upset about it, church. There are people in here today that didn't come to church because they're mad at one of you because you did something. That's wrong. This is the church. We're beyond politics. We're above politics. It matters. It's important. Principles and things are important, but Christ is supreme. The church should come together in unity and stand up for the Word of God. Stand up and speak it. Speak against evil together. Sometimes we make non-biblical things biblical things, and then we divide. The enemy is winning so many fronts, and I'm praying for a revival, the Spirit of God to hit a wave, to hit the church like never before. A love wave, a grace wave. We stand against sin. And we stand in the gap for people who are trapped in sin. And we love them like Christ. We sacrifice ourselves like Christ sacrificed. We love like Christ loved. And we stand up in the midst of evil. We speak against it with love. Not opinion and anger and pride. See, we have to stop. Here's my plea today to us, church. Stop and come close to Jesus again. Our eyes are so focused on so much going on right now. So much. We're focusing on so much. We're like looking here constantly. And then we just got to fix our focus again. Christ, sorry for the things that we've made it. Lord, empower us with your love and your compassion and your truth. We will stand against evil. Yes, we will. But we must stand against evil with love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Perfect love casts out all fear. Live in a world with fear and divide. We need you again. We need you again. Jesus, thank you, God. See, that's why Jesus said in his word, remain in me. See, if you remain in Jesus, you're going to find fruit that he talks about. See, fruit is a natural byproduct of intimacy with God. There's a lot of rotten fruit out there. It's stinky. It tastes bad. It's very bitter. God wants something sweet. See, the fruit of God's Spirit are these. Now think about this in our world right now. Think about this in the church. Think about this in your own life. Here are God's spiritual fruits. Love. Joy. Peace, forbearance, another word for that is restraint, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Jesus is the one we are to remain in, and in him alone. See, in him alone is where we find all that we need. And when we are in intimacy with God, fruits of his Spirit will come out in our life and people will notice. See, the Holy Spirit does not remain in a church that just loves the gifts of the Spirit. See, we're Pentecostal, we focus a lot on gifts of the Spirit. I do too, yeah. I love the gifts of the Spirit. But what good are the gifts if you don't have the fruits? You will never steward a gift correctly if you don't have the fruits. We can't. That thing should be turned off until we look like Jesus. Because who wants to hear? The word talks about, and I know there's a lot of different translations, but talks about bitter and sweet water cannot come out of the same place. It also talks about being double-tongued. Out of one side of our mouth, we're cursing God's creation and people, and the other side we're praising him and saying how much we love him. Lord, we need hugs again. We need COVID to go so we can hug again and feel love. Maybe we just haven't been hugged enough in 2020. I don't know. That's my own thing. If you live with somebody and COVID doesn't restrict it, you better hug them today like you never hugged before. People need hugged. You need to hug somebody that is comfortable with it and look them in the face and tell them how much God loves them. We haven't done much of that in 2020. You know, if it's your family member, if it's your children or neighbor that you're comfortable being around, or maybe a friend that comes over a lot or whatever that you already exposed anyway, just go into their face, give them a hug, and just speak into their life. We need encouragement. We need God's love right now. We need to be encouraged to be God's people in the midst of this. You understand everything I'm preaching today would have been valid in 2019. It'll be valid in 2022. It's not about the circumstances that we face, but oftentimes the circumstances that we face, we have to be reminded of God's word, and it aligns us again with his plan. It aligns us again to the vine. It aligns us again to Christ Jesus. It aligns us again when we get a little bit off and we start going down, we get a lot of bit off. And then we got to be aligned back to God's word, be aligned back to God's love, be aligned back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, be reminded and be aligned back to the one that reigns supreme no matter what we face. We got to get aligned back. That's today's message. In the midst of the circumstances, get aligned back to Jesus. Remain in him. When you get off the vine, you no longer get nourishment. And if you no longer have nourishment, you can no longer bear fruit. And things that get off of the vine start to wither and die. And the church, speaking in general, the church in general, it's almost like we have gotten off the vine. And we're supposed to be the branches of the vine. We're supposed to be the nourishment that bears fruit that the world can see, but we're starting to wither up and die. Remain in me. Come back to Christ. Let's get hooked up again and bear that fruit so we can be the branches, right? That could just go out into places that we can't even imagine that we should be going into. See, the Holy Spirit does not remain in a church that just loves the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not remain in a church that's divided. We want the Holy Spirit to move, then we must be in unity, because the Holy Spirit will not move in a non-unified church. It just doesn't happen. That's how he works. The Holy Spirit remains in a church that loves Jesus Christ together. Keep the main thing the main thing. Let me tell you the good news of Jesus for a moment before I preach a little bit more and we're going to worship, and I got some scripture to read over your life to encourage you as well, not only personally but for the church as well. But let me tell you real quick about the gospel of Jesus, and maybe you've heard this before, I think you have many times, but be reminded, I want to align us back to the vine, okay? We were separated from God. Sin separates us from God, and because we have sin in our lives, we are no longer able to be in the presence of God. And if we don't have the presence of God, we are subject to the devil and his schemes. We don't have truth. Well, that happened long ago with the very first two created, that they chose that they would know a better way than God's way. And Adam and Eve, they chose to eat of the fruit that they were told not to. They could have all things except this one thing, but pride got in the way and they thought they could be like God. And we often do that as well. We feel like we could be like God, that we have a better way than him, that we understand. So we grabbed from that tree and we bit from that fruit, and at that moment we were separated. But our God loves us, and throughout time, He's given us, in God's word, there's been judges and there's been prophets. And the reason why they were in place is they were preparing the way for the Messiah, Jesus. And they were coming and they kept on bringing God's people back to God, because we kept going off. We kept going off, and it was always, come back to me, come back to me, remember my ways. And there's this man, and he went up into this mountain and he gave us God's ways and his laws. And his laws are righteous, his ways are the best. And so he gave us that so we could be separated from the world, so we can live like him and we could be in favor with him and have a blessing with him. And so when we follow those laws, that's when we're in God's plan. But if we fall off, that's why God gave us judges and he gave us prophets to bring us back to God's ways. But then God understands, and he always had it in his plan, that our hearts were like stone, just like those things written on stone, and he had to turn our hearts of stone into flesh. And the way that he turns it into flesh is that we must be reborn. We must be born again, and there's no other way to be reborn again or to have a new thought and a new way. This is how he did it. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate it on December 25th, although that's not technically his birthday. But that's where we celebrate it. It's called Christmas, where God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He laid Jesus in a manger. He brought God's love and put it and wrapped it in flesh, laid it in a manger so he could live amongst us, so he could die for us. And the reason why he had to live amongst us and die for us is so he can reconcile. What that means is bring us back to God's plan. Bring us back to him so we could follow his ways because we were falling off again. And so Jesus came. And not only did he teach us how to love and how to live, but he taught us how to sacrifice. And so when Jesus came to this world, he died for us. And he walked 3.5 years when he was about 30 to 33, and he taught us, and his ministry was incredible. If you read in God's word, he had signs, wonders, and miracles that followed him all the time. The only thing that ever stopped him was the lack of faith in people. The lack of faith in people. And the things that he hated the most were the religious. He wanted the people that wanted his heart and not just his stone, not just the laws. And they fell off and they got actually political. Sadducees and Pharisees, they got a little bit political. But God came back and he aligned us back to him and he says, keep our focus on Christ. And so what he did is he walked and he had signs, wonders, and miracles that followed him. And everywhere that he went, that said that people were healed, people were set free, and multitudes followed him. He preached something different than anyone could find in the world. Jesus was God's son. And the only way to bring us back into right relationship, see, back in the day, what they had to do is they had to take an unblemished lamb or dove or some sort of animal. And it says that, we can't be forgiven of our sins unless there was bloodshed. Something had to die for the things that we did so we could be back with God. So what they do is they bring it. This is before Jesus came and sacrificed himself. They bring this animal, and it was unblemished, and they'd lay their hands on them as a representation to put all their sin upon that animal, and they sacrifice that animal, and at that moment, God forgives their sins. Well, God wasn't running out of animals. He just had a different plan. Jesus came and he says he's called the Lamb of God. He's the unblemished Lamb of God. And so when he came, he taught us the way to live. He taught us how to love people. He taught us how to cast out demons. He taught us how to walk, to talk, what to stand up for, what to stand against, what to stand in for, how to intercede and how to love the outcast, the broken, and the hurting. Not just the church people. He taught us how to love the unlovable because that's what he did for us. And so then it says, and what's cool about this, and we can be reminded this morning again, is in his word, oftentimes he would prophesy and tell us on the third day he's going to rise again. On the third day he's going to be victorious. He'll be victorious forever. And they heard it, but they didn't quite believe it. Now we've been taught in God's word multiple times and what God is going to do, but sometimes we forget it. But it's going to happen. We should believe it. So Jesus, he goes willingly. It says in his word that he could have cast down a legion of angels. He got to mess that place up. We talk about Veterans Day, that'd be a whole nother ballgame. That's like an atomic bomb like 10 times. I mean, that thing, it would have wrecked the place. Spiritually, physically. But Jesus said, if this cup can pass from me, let it. But not my will, your will be done. And he's talking to his father. See, he knew that his son had to die to bring us back to God. So he willingly laid down his life. He laid down his life for you and I. And every single person that didn't show up today, people you work with, people who didn't vote like you, people that stand in places that you've never stood, people that go through things you can never understand, people that are hurting, broken, and lost. And people who think they have it all together, the rich and the poor. He died for all. Doesn't matter your color. Doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your bank account. It doesn't matter your political party. It doesn't matter. Jesus came for this very reason, that he willingly died on that cross. And then he died. Ooh, come on now. He died on a Friday. And Saturday was dark and silent. And we wondered. We wondered, where is our God? But But just like he prophesied and just like he told us in his word and he's telling us again today, he rose on that third day. He rose from the grave. And when he rose from that grave, what he did is he took all of our sins as that unblemished lamb, as if we were laying our hands and transferring our sin to that and killing it. And that bloodshed had to happen for our sin to be forgiven. And he was the Lamb of God, the unblemished lamb that laid willingly on that tree. And all of our sin stuck to that. Even now, and even in your future. And when Jesus rose from the grave, he set us free. He took back the keys of hell. See, for a very long time, the devil roamed this earth and he had free reign, even on God's church. But when Jesus came, he brought back that reign. And God's people can reign here on earth as we once were told to do long ago. And what's awesome about that when Jesus rose, see, what makes him different than anybody or any other people that you hear about that people worship is our God is not dead. Jesus is alive. Our Savior is alive. And it says in his word, he's coming back again. So it says in God's word this, if you believe this story, if you believe this history, if you believe God's word and you believe that Jesus Christ was alive, he was born, he died, and he rose again, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Amen? Here's what's amazing. We don't park there. That's the beginning of everything. You shall be saved. What does that mean? That you are born again. See, I was once born in sin, but now I'm born in righteousness. Jesus Christ becomes the Savior of my life. And I am now his, and he is mine. I remain in Christ. Put him on speaker. Amen. I remain in Christ. And if I remain in Christ, that's the beginning. Because it says that it's not all about salvation. We park on salvation. That's the beginning. Do you remember how Jesus walked? Do you remember what he said? Signs, wonders, and miracles followed Jesus everywhere that he went. And Jesus, out of his own mouth to his disciples, he said a couple things. He said this. He said, you're going to do even greater things than I. Jesus, what? Now, he's not talking about the actual things he did. He's talking about the magnitude, the amount, because one man walking and doing these miracles everywhere is amazing. But the church of millions will be incredible. And how do you do that? See, salvation is the beginning, but Jesus told us he's sending another. My Father will send another. So when Jesus rose from the grave, he appeared to lots and lots of his followers, and they didn't quite recognize him because he was in his new body, right? His resurrected body. He's the first. We will all have one someday, but he's the first. And he came to them and he told them that if you go and you follow me, and you do this, what I'm going to ask you to do, tarry. What does tarry mean? It's a guy's name, sometimes a girl's name. Yeah. Depends how you spell it, but this is different. Tarry, wait, patiently. Hold on a second. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you will wait, you will restrain yourself, you will be patient. My Father will send another. The Holy Spirit. See, Christ is our salvation. The Holy Spirit is the power. See, it says this, that the same power that rose Christ from the grave, which is an impossibility physically, is the same Spirit that lives in you who follows Jesus. So if you will wait for God, if you recognize he's the King, I'm getting us lined up, church. We need to be realigned. Realigned. The basic gospel of Jesus Christ, the basic message of Jesus Christ is the greatest of all that we have. We are nothing without this. We're lost sheep in this world like everyone else. But with this, it says that if you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and you follow him, you're now God's child. People who are lost are not God's children. That's bad theology. not everyone out there is God's children. Everyone out there is God's potential children. You're God's child when you recognize your father. Okay? That's how that works. A theology right there. So you can be God's child if Jesus is the only way to the Father in your life. Amen? Amen. So I want to align us here before I pray for us and we worship the King. First off, I want to take this moment. You don't have to bow your heads if you don't want to, but is there anyone in here? All of us have been through this before. Is there anybody in here that says, I want to be God's child? I want to recognize what you just said, Pastor Harris, about Jesus, and that you've never done it before. Actually, go ahead and bow your heads just real quick. It's not necessarily a secret thing. We're not trying to do that. It's a little uneasy at the beginning. Remember, this is practice here at church, and the game time's out there. So sometimes we got to lean in, and we got to start learning. We got to tip our little toes in the water before we jump in, but God wants us to jump in eventually. So is there anybody in here that says, I need Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life, and maybe I've been living on my own, and maybe I've been lost, but I need Christ because I need this peace that you've been preaching on. I need to be aligned with Jesus. If that's you today, will you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to do something crazy. I just want to pray for you. Will you raise your hand? Is there anyone in here? I see that hand. I see that other hand. Is there anyone else? I see that hand. See that hand? Amen. Anybody? Anyone? I don't want to miss you. I see that hand. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray it with me, okay? Actually, all church, everybody, let's do this, okay? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then we're going to keep on preaching, and we're going to worship, and we're going to go out and change the world. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're empowered to do, amen? Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for aligning us back up to the vine where we get the fruit and the nourishment. God, that's where we get the nourishment so the fruit can remain in our lives. And I pray for intimacy with God. What does that mean? It's not some weird thing that the world teaches what intimacy is. It is a relationship that is close, a very close relationship with you, God. That you walk with us, you talk with us, that you love us. Not in the sense of physical that we think here, but God, your ways are higher than our ways, and I thank you, God, that you come and you align us to you, and that you love us enough that you love us deeper than just physically. You love us spiritually and emotionally and mentally. You love us with all that we are. It says in your word that you created us in your mother's womb and you knew this day would come. God, I thank you right now for the salvations in here of the people that raised their hand. That's just the start. I pray that somebody, if that was you today and you raised your hand, please reach out to somebody who's a believer and say, I gave my heart to Jesus today. What's my next step? And then we can help you in that. Okay? We'll help you in that. We've all been there. We've all done it. You don't have to be scared. It's okay. That's the beginning. Father, I thank you for this, and it says in your word, if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and who's raised from the dead, we shall be saved. So I pray that you hear this prayer together, and it be more than just words, that your spirit makes our dead spirit come alive. Thank you. Okay, repeat after me. Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life, and I recognize that you are my Savior, that you died for my sins, and you're raised from the dead, and you're coming again soon. Today, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I give you my spirit, and I give you my life. May you come now and live in me, in Jesus' name, amen, 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 praise God. Can we have a hand clap for all the people? There's like 6 or 7 people gave their heart to Jesus. If you've given your heart to Jesus or given your heart back to Jesus, please reach out to the church office. I want to give you a Bible. I want to give you any material that you may need, but you also need to talk to some people that you're close to here as they can help you walk through it. But I want to personally write in your Bible and send it to you. Amen? Amen. I'm just getting us aligned back up. A few more things. I'm going to pray some scripture over you, and then we're going to worship as we go out. Amen? Everybody still following? Okay. Amen. Okay. At this moment in time, our lifeblood is this: hearing the voice of God. Now, it's awesome that we pray. It's awesome we have His word. These are amazing, amazing things. They are vital things. It's amazing that we meet in church. But here's what I believe the next thing is that we must focus on is hearing the voice of God. What is He saying? Not as what am I feeling, what is God saying? I often pray this, and you can pray it too if you'd like. Lord, I don't need all your steps, all your plans. I just want to know the next one. Let me in on the next one. See, I can't handle all that you want to do. I couldn't handle that. But will you share with me the next one? Because I want to be a part of that. Amen? God has given us weapons to fight back in this world, and praise is one of them. Worship team, you can come up if you want. See you gingerly, like, am I supposed to go or not? Y'all can come if you want. But don't lose it. I want you to keep hearing this too. Yep. No, that looks like you, yeah, gangster walk or something. I don't know what that was. He's hurting. We believe in prayer. Come on up. Prayer line, starting with Bill. Hallelujah. See, God gives us weapons to fight back, and one of them is praise. Amen? In the midst of your storm, if you praise shackles, what is that? It's a cool word for chains or bondage, things that bind you, will fall off. You don't even understand it, but you don't always have to understand everything. America is so cerebral, right? We have this Roman thoughts, right? The only people important in our society are the people that are super intelligent and have a whole bunch of degrees. That's what we put up is the most important. But if you go back to scripture, and you go back to even the Jewish people, what they care about is your spirit, soul, and your mind. They care about your mind, but they care about your who you are, your personality, everything about you. And that's what God cares about as well, okay? So sometimes you don't always have to understand it, but something is going to take place. Here's another way we fight back. See, God gives us faith, and faith helps us build our trust in God. And faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, wow, five people, hallelujah. And we're going home. See you all. Hallelujah. Just got dark up in here. Jesus, thank you. That's because you guys, not everybody joined in on that. That's how I got mad and somehow turned that off. I don't know. Okay, see, if we have faith, and faith builds our trust in God, and faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Okay, so here's one of our weapons. It's praise, yes. Here's another weapon. There's a weapon that guards our hearts and puts our focus back on God and off the pain, off the fear, off the confusion, off the division of this world. It is God's word. Praise and God's word. See, prayer God's plus God's word plus God's people equals God's power and God's victory. Okay? So I want to, right now, I'm going to take it out so I can walk. Camera guy, come get me. I'm going to pray some scripture over you, and then I'm going to have you stand when we do the church together, some scripture. And we're going to praise. Amen? Something's going to fall off. I pray that today you're aligned to the vine. That was good. That kind of flowed cool. Aligned to the vine. I want to read some scripture over you to remind you of who you are and what we should do. And it's not just encouraging stuff that you might see on Jesus TV, right? I want to do some other stuff too here. Okay, here's some personal things for you. Romans 12:21. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Amen? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Build up your most holy faith. Build it up in you right now. The Spirit is getting fed right now. Let it eat. It needs to get strong. Let it eat and let it exercise. You know what you do when you eat and you don't exercise? Oh, come on now. A lot of times, church, sometimes we're eating a lot and we don't exercise and we get lazy because we're spiritually fat. Come on now. Bunch of fat sheep everywhere, and we need to get out. The way you exercise is by doing the Great Commission. Get out. Get fed, feed somebody else. Don't eat it all for yourself. It's the Word of God. There's more coming. There's enough for all. All right, that was for somebody. I don't know. COVID. I had a COVID-15, not 19, by the way. All right, need exercise. James 4:7. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? Quit listening to his lies. Quit jumping in the division. Quit jumping and doing these things. Quit being of the world and be for the world. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you give him no foothold, he can't get in your life, right? If you keep on preaching God's word, keep being God's word, keep reading God's word, keep aligning yourself to the vine, the devil got no place. 1 John 4:4. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. It's greater. Underline that. Greater in your word. Greater. Do not be dismayed. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon. Church, say no weapon. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue will rise against you in judgment. You shall condemn. That ain't happening, right? You do what you want, say what you want. See, listen, even if you die, it is gain. A lot of times when Christians die of persecution, God gives multiplication. Somebody dies of persecution or something happens in persecution, God does multiplication, not addition. Oh, one's gone, I'm gonna add another. No, one's gone and an army shows up. The Spirit moves, right? Oh, you died for that? Wow. Okay. Rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Hallelujah. One more, and then we're going to, Joshua 1:9. You got nervous, right? I was like, Josh, come on up here. You got the next one, hallelujah. I'm going to exercise your faith. He's going to prophesy. Okay. And Josh just threw up, hallelujah. Spilling aisle 9. Okay, Josh 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not, I love this, 2020, believers in 2020, do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. If you remain in Christ, you will be victorious. God's love is always supreme. All right, church, stand. I want to read over the church now. I'm going to read over the church. That was for you individually. Now this is for you corporately. This is for the church. And then right when I'm done, I'm going to pray and you just go right into the song. Just boom, hit it, okay? No talking, nothing. Just bam, just go wow. I just feel. See, God's going to, God wants to, I just feel it right now. I just got stirred up right now. Sometimes I just feel, you know? You know when it's not God? You know when it's God? Do you know when it's God? It's when it's not you. And it aligns to God's word. That's how you know it's God. You're like, oh, I want to hear this. I want to feel this. No, no, no. The way that you know it is that's not how you think. That's not how you do. You feel it, and you know it's not you. You know it's God. If it aligns to his word and you feel it, it's God. He's talking to you. Right? We use the word talk because English is broken language. That's why. But you... So right now, I believe there's something going to take place. I feel it. God's talking to me. All right, church. Matthew 16, 18, the back half of it. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And church, say all. All the powers of hell will not conquer it. Three more. Psalm 44, 5. Only by your power can we push back our enemies. Only in your name will we trample our foes. Matthew. Now Matthew's getting nervous. Matthew 18. 18 and 19. New King James, because I love how it puts this in words. Assuredly. Assuredly. Somebody put that in a sentence this week. Assuredly. I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, assuredly, that if two of you agree, so church, this is for you, church, agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. By the way, anybody out there that accepted Christ today, that you're watching today, or you're watching the future, contact the church. 319-363-3117. 319-363-3117. Call us Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. We're open, or leave a voicemail. I want to talk to you. I want to get you a Bible. Wherever you're at, I'll send it to you. We got Amazon. Praise God. 2 Chronicles, right? We like Chronicles right now, but I'm going to give you a different verse. 20:15. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem and the United States of America. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. Listen, President. Listen, Mayor, Senator, whoever. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, the devil's plan of division. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because of Jesus, you reconciled us back to the Father. We come to you right now, and I pray. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your encouragement. I thank you for aligning us back up to the vine. I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you that you can continue to do things. And I pray that right now in the church, there is a wave of your spirit like we've never felt before. A wave of the apathy will be gone. A wave of love and compassion. A wave of righteousness and truth. A wave that we look different. We stand in the gap. We stand up for the unspoken for. We stand up for the outcasts. We stand up for the widows and the orphans. We stand up for the ones that we once were, God. And we speak against the devil right now and the schemes of the enemy. We speak against division by the power of Jesus. We say that we are one in Christ. We are in one spirit with one hope right now. And we will worship no matter the denomination, no matter the color, no matter the background, no matter the bank account, no matter what. We come together in Christ right now. And we say that you will reign on high. And no matter what happens in the United States of America, even if it crumbles, even if it falls, even if it's the greatest it's ever been, whatever it is, we will worship you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh.